I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Jesse, we have Father Frank Pavone who's going to be on today with us. I want to first of all welcome Father Frank before we read the good news of Jesus Christ's gospel. Father Frank, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Back.
Father, I know this is going to be a good show since we're having difficulties. My experience after 40 years of working out in apostolic work and introducing people to the person of Christ and his church, whenever I have technical difficulties, I get excited. That's why you see me standing, but I'm always standing. Jesse,
Father, give us the blessing. Let Father give us the blessing before we start the
show.
Father, go ahead. Give us your priestly blessing.
Well, may the Lord send his Holy Spirit upon us, upon all our listeners, upon the equipment, and upon the great word that he has spoken and that we strive to echo in this broadcast. May he bless and protect us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Great. Jesse, let's get to the good news of our Lord Savior's mass readings for the gospel. Go for it, brother.
Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. This is the Gerasene or the Gerasene demoniac possessed by a legion. Here's what it says today in today's gospel. They came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once the man for the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." He asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with them not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine. Let us enter them." And he let them, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swine herds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And the people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with them, but he would not permit him and told him instead, "Go home, tell your family, and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, that means 10 cities, what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse, another gospel with the devil in it.
Right. Let me just make one comment before you go to Father Pavone.
Yeah.
Here we have a demon-possessed man that had what the church calls preternatural strength, and the demon would physically torment this man. And Jesus, who is the chief exorcist, because he's the high priest, he verbally commands the demons to come out, and he commands the demons to identify themselves as well. And apparently this is, according to the church's teaching, this weakens the demons when a priest gets them to identify themselves. And then Jesus casts the demons into a herd of pigs, and the man's completely healed. Unclean spirits, according to the church's teaching, are attracted to unclean people and unclean animals, and unclean objects. And only a Catholic priest has the authority to ask a demon to identify itself by name in a solemn exorcism. So the point of entry here is unknown. The story doesn't tell us how the demon entered this man, but the point of departure is very clear. It's the person and the authority of Jesus Christ and his words. That's the point of departure.
Well said. Father Frank, I want to play a couple clips regarding the March for Life that you were at from President Trump. And I'm also going to play something that I want you to give us your take. Raymond Arroyo asked President Trump a question. What made you turn around from being, you know, I don't like that term pro-choice, but for killing unborn babies to being pro-life? And we're going to play both clips. And then, Father Frank, if you could give us a little commentary, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Thanks. Okay, here comes the clip, Mr. Engineer.
Born and unborn is made in the holy image of God.
Trump will be the first president in U.S. history to speak at the annual March for Life. President of the March, Gene Mancini, said, "We are deeply honored to welcome President Trump to the 47th annual March for Life." Mancini explained why she's marching.
Because abortion is the human rights abuse of today. We've lost 61 million Americans to abortion.
Trump simply tweeted, "See you on Friday, big crowd." President Trump also declared January 22nd the National Sanctity of Human Life Day. He called on Congress to join him in protecting and defending the dignity of every human life, including those not yet born. And he called on the American people to support adoption and foster care in a more meaningful way so every child can have a loving home. The president's declaration comes on the anniversary of the Supreme Court's 1973 decision in Roe versus Wade. Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life has called the ruling
the most destructive decision in the history, not only of the court, but of the entire world.
Pro-life advocates are hoping that Trump's 1-2 punch is the knockout blow that foreshadows an end to legal abortion in the U.S.
Before we play the next clip, I want, Father, your comments on that. I heard you make one comment about it, but what are your thoughts about the event that took place in Washington?
You know, we have for decades, literally for decades, mm-hmm. been imagining how wonderful it would be if a sitting president were to come to the March for Life. We have had over the years, I remember back the days of President Reagan, and of course, President Bush and both Presidents Bush and, you know, hearing them address the march via telephone hookup. But this was the fulfillment of it was like a dream come true for some of these pro-life people, especially those that have been marching and working for years. The president is a strong encourager of this cause. He means what he says. He wants to see the unborn protected. He is fully committed. I can testify to that from working very closely with his team. And it was just electric, you know, for him to be able to affirm those marchers, what they stand for. He understands why these people are there, what the pro-life movement does. And he understands that America is moving in a pro-life direction, which, of course, is why we were able to see this historic moment of him addressing the march.
Wow. Father, we're going to play a clip right after the break where it explains why President Trump made a change of heart on that.
Yes.
And this is interesting because I'm surprised how many people still question his authenticity. In other words, is he really doing this for votes or is he doing it just to, you know, make people happy that are on the pro-life side? But based on this interview that I have from Raymond Arroyo, it really shows that this is right from his heart, that he actually had a metanoia, a conversion of heart regarding the pro-life issues. So we'll play that right after our break. Jess, your thoughts before we break?
Yeah, Father, give people your bio. And they're saying, who is Father Frank Pavone? Give us your curriculum vitae.
Okay.
When did you become a priest? And tell us, let the people know who you are for our first-time listeners.
There you go.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you, Jesse. Well, I've been a priest since 1988. And I have been, after several years of parish work, I have been doing pro-life work full-time as a national pro-life leader since 1993. And I took at that point, with the permission of Cardinal John O'Connor of New York, the position of National Director of Priests for Life. In this capacity, I travel and speak full-time, dealing with the abortion issue, working with all the other pro-life groups, helping to network these leaders, and helping to activate the church to end abortion. That's our tagline for Priests for Life, activating the church to end abortion. Privileged to make this my full-time ministry, and happy to be having opportunities just like this.
Wonderful. Father, we'll be right back with Father Frank Pavone on the Terry and Jesse Show. Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35 and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for you, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have our good friend Father Frank Pavone for Priests for Life with us, but I always have a good news story the first segment. I ran out of time, but this good news story fits perfectly in what we're doing. He's a Reverend Richard Bugnici. He distributed flyers at his Westward Sacred Heart Church listing all the legislators who voted to enshrine the abortion protections in Rhode Island law, saying they would not be permitted to receive Holy Communion or serve as marriage witnesses, godparents, or lectors in the church functions. I say this because it's good news that this priest, he's 73 years old, he's probably thinking, God bless him, that I'm going to meet God someday, quickly probably, and I'm going to stand up for the unborn. The bishop has backed him on this, Father Frank, and I just want to say thank you very much, Father, for leading this as a shepherd leads the flock, because I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to play a clip with President Trump and Raymond Arroyo, but I'm convinced that if you're a Catholic and you know that this is taking unlife, unborn baby is taking life through abortion, and you are aware of that, then it is objectively mortal sin on a soul to vote for a candidate who's promoting the killing of unborn citizens and human life. So that's my position based on natural law. But Father Frank, I want you to hear what many people have said. You know, is President Trump really pro-life? How in the world did this guy change? Well, you're going to find out why listening to this clip.
Issues. Okay. You weren't always pro-life. But you now are determinedly and decidedly
yes,
pro-life.
Yes, I am pro-life.
You said you're going to appoint judges who are pro-life.
Right.
You're very concerned about the late-term abortions. What was the moment that changed your thinking, your heart on this?
Well, there were a number of moments, but one was a couple that I know very, very well. And you had a strong pro-life and you had a strong pro-choice. And they argued over, the mother was pregnant. Mm-hmm. They argued over the child. One, I won't get into specifics,
sure, sure.
but one wanted to abort.
Mm-hmm.
And the other said, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. Anyway, they had the baby. It's a long time ago. And the baby is such a magnificent person who I know. A magnificent person. And the person that was actually pro-choice is now pro-life because of it. And it had a big effect on me. But I've seen other examples similar to that, but I've seen other examples. So
it was a personal change.
It was a personal change. And, you know, Ronald Reagan made that personal change, too. Right. Many people have made the personal change. I mean, some make the personal change the other way also.
Right, right.
But I made the personal change, and I'm very happy with it.
Wow. Jesse?
Father, comments on that.
Wow.
Listen, the president is very sincere in his pro-life commitment. I have had the privilege of speaking with him. I speak regularly wow. with his close advisors. In fact, I've been asked to be the co-chair of his national Pro-Life Voices for Trump
Great.
Coalition,
wow.
which was launched on the day of the March for Life.
I love
So I know that the president is fully sincere about this. But Jesse and Terry,
yes.
let's ask this question.
Sure.
Those of us, especially in the family of the church, why would we not believe a person? People change on this issue every single day. In fact, that's what our church is about. I received, as you know, I had the privilege of receiving Norma McCorvey into the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
But Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade itself, the winner of the case, ended up converting and rejecting the decision. People convert, Bernard Nathanson, Abby Johnson, so many people. And you know, it's part of virtue, isn't it? It's part of charity to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Amen.
We might question, oh, you know, maybe their motive is this and maybe their motive is that. I want to say two things about that. Number one, it is part of being a faithful Catholic that we always give people the benefit of the doubt and we take them at their word. Unless we have concrete evidence to the contrary. The second thing we have to keep in mind is this. I'm not saying it's not important that people be sincere. People need to be sincere. But when you look at what President Trump is doing, mm-hmm. why are we even asking the question about trying to get into his inner mind and heart and soul? In a certain sense,
yes.
and I say this carefully now, mm-hmm. but in a certain sense, what difference does it make? In other words, when he puts his signature on a law,
yep.
or when he puts his signature on a veto, or when he appoints a judge for our courts who's pro-life, and he's appointed 191 of them, and they're going to serve for life, whether that's sincere or not sincere, it makes no difference because that judge is on the court, that law goes into effect, and those pro-life policies are advanced. And he has a long, long list of all the pro-life things that he's done. And listen, they take effect. He's applying the power of the presidency to these goals, and he's accomplishing it. And it's like, that's what we ought to be focusing on. And we have to ask ourselves one simple question. Do we want that progress to continue by him staying in office?
Amen.
Or do we want that progress to be reversed by having a pro-abortion president?
Great question.
Father, we got a bunch of questions to ask you.
Boy, do we.
Just give us a quick response, because we got to go through a lot of stuff. Did you ever in your lifetime, in our lifetime, believe that any president from either party would speak at the Washington March for Life? As I heard this speech, his speech, it was obvious to me that it was written by a Catholic. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, he listens. He listens to his advisors, and, you know, we dreamt years and decades ago that someday there would be a president. It was oh Lord, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yep.
And now it happened.
You got it. Father, I'm going to jump to the election that's going to come up. We're at the Iowa caucus today, but you know, we have a November election coming where people need to be informed on their voting. And so does this election present, I think it does, but I'm going to hear you, a stark contrast between two major political parties. And has abortion pro-life divided ever been so clear as it is now? It seems like that's the case, but let's hear you.
No, no, it's never been so clear, never been so stark, never been so more consequential. Mm-hmm. The divide is bigger than ever. The Democrats not only put no limits on abortion, but they want us to pay for it.
Yeah.
And their platform explicitly says that.
Yep.
None of the Democrat candidates want to put any limits on abortion, except Tulsi Gabbard. Was the only one who said, well, maybe in the third trimester, it's not such a great idea. But not a single one of the others are putting any limits on it. And not only on abortion, but the difference has never been so great just about the fundamental values mm-hmm. of Christianity, religious freedom, Western civilization itself. Yeah. Even the idea of that we have a nation, because you can't have a nation without borders. And these Democrat extremists, they want open borders. They don't want us to have a country.
Yep.
I mean, it's the litany of things, you know, is unbelievable. The extremism and the stark choice that we have.
Good answer.
Father, it seems to me that this election is all about the Supreme Court for the next generation.
Yep.
Will it go in the direction of respect for the unborn, or should it keep its invented right to kill a child legal in America? Your thoughts. Am I onto something?
You know, I gave a talk at the Walk for Life West Coast just a couple of weeks ago, and at the March for Life as well, at the prayer service. And I pointed out at both of those talks the following fact. We've got 5 conservatives on the Supreme Court right now, 4 left-wing extremists. The 2 oldest members of the Supreme Court are of the left-wing extremist camp.
Yep.
So Justice Breyer is 81, and Justice Ginsburg in a few weeks will turn 87.
Wow.
If we have a pro-life president and a pro-life Senate to replace them, we could, in a relatively short time, have a 7-2 pro-life majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. Yes, that's very much what this election is about. Not to mention, again, the president has put over 190 other federal judges on the circuit courts and the district courts. They too will serve lifetime terms, and they too are conservative and pro-life.
Father, before I ask you this question, my phone's getting hit with all kinds of texts because everybody knows my cell number on the radio is 661-972-7872. That's where I get them from. They said, Father, and I know you have the answer, where can we find the political platform in Spanish? When can we look at both platforms in Spanish? Isn't it on your website, Father?
Votinginfo.net. Votinginfo.net.
Yep.
What we have there are the platforms. We also have, as you know, we created a 1-page
yep.
flyer.
Excellent.
Quoting from the 2 different platforms. We have that in Spanish.
Excellent.
As well as in English.
Thank you. Now, here's my question. And again, Father, I saw the Bishops' Conference where Archbishop Chaput, before he retired, stood up for life. And most of our bishops are wanting to have the pro-life issue as number one. But there have been a few bishops who have openly stated that abortion is not the preeminent issue when it comes to voting. Now, you know, St. Mother Teresa, St. John Paul II, our U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Living the Gospel of Life, number 23, would disagree with some of these bishops. And I just ask your thoughts that what can we do other than every Thursday we pray for our leaders in our church, but what can we do to help some of our leaders in our church have their eyes open when it comes to pro-life?
Well, I have the deepest respect for anyone who occupies the office
yeah.
of a successor to the apostles, as I know that you guys do as well. But I can't understand how they don't see the mathematics. Number one, there is nothing that takes more life than abortion.
That's right.
Count the number. Just do the math.
Yep.
Nothing is claiming more life than abortion. There's 2 other things, and these things don't change. Number one, the victims of abortion are the most defenseless. They're the weakest, the poorest, the smallest, the most defenseless. And fact number 2 that can never change is that without life, you don't have anything else. So it's the foundational right. It's necessary to be alive in order to have the right to immigrate, the right to health care, the right to anything else. So those facts don't change. The numbers fact could change, but it hasn't changed. So, like, where are these guys coming from if they're not saying that abortion is the number one preeminent moral emergency of our day? It and notice the 3 things that I just mentioned.
Yep.
the math, the defenselessness, and the fundamental nature of the right. These are not from religious doctrine. This is from just from human reason. This is just logic.
Yeah.
So we have to understand these 3 points, and then we'll see. Yeah, this is the number one problem.
Well, Father, common sense ain't that common, as G.K. Chesterton would say. I mean, it, but I would say, in addition to that answer, every Thursday night here at our chapel, we pray for 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament for our leaders in the church. And I know they appreciate that, but I think that all of us here listening need to get down on our knees on a daily basis to pray for our leaders, because I know you read the book, A Battle for the American Church, by Monsignor George Kelly. But he he said, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. So we need to pray for our leaders. Jesse?
We do.
Father, just got a question for you, and maybe you'll be able to answer it on the other side of the break.
Yep, we got a break coming. Yep.
And the let me make a comment about President Trump.
Yeah,
and
then we'll do the break. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah. I know that President Trump is sincere about his pro-life position. I'll tell you why. There's an old saying that that we use as Americans. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
That's right.
He's receiving so much hate and so many, let's call them fiery darts, as a result of his position. If somebody wasn't authentically convinced, they'd say, you know what, man? There's so much hate coming my way. I'm jumping out of the kitchen. It's too hot. He's standing there and saying, bring it on, because this is who I am now. So, yeah, this is a man that's had a metanoia on the issue of pro-life, without a doubt.
And we're saying bring it on right now with Father Frank Pavone. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies. Featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're speaking here with Father Frank Pavone, a man who needs no introduction in the Catholic Church. Father, the left is trying to influence low-information Catholics through this fake Catholic organization called Catholics for Choice. My question to you, who funds this organization? Who are they? And what's their mission?
Well, their mission is very much like you just said, to confuse Catholics, to confuse the issue. You know, it goes back actually to the time of Bernard Nathanson, who co-founded the abortion industry. They had a Catholic strategy, and they saw the Catholic Church as the biggest obstacle in the way to legalizing abortion. And so they deliberately, in all the reports that they sent out to the media and so forth, would mention the Catholic credentials of those who were pro-life, and they would try to divide the public, the Catholic public, from their leadership in the church and the position of the church on this issue. So this continues in these days with the groups like Catholics for Choice that are funded by, you know, these pro-abortion millionaires that pop up all over the place when you do an analysis of the funding streams. There's just a handful of people. And they, you know, it's not like they have a big following or anything. But, you know, even like in this latest case that's before the Supreme Court now about abortion coming out of the Louisiana law that was passed a few years ago, Catholics for Choice files a friend of the court brief on behalf of the abortion industry. So it's like they're there like a constant nuisance, you know, spewing forth this ridiculous position that somehow there's something good about abortion. It would be more honest of them, of course, if they would say Catholics for abortion, but no, they have to hide even the very thing that they're standing for, cowards that they are. But they also know that people don't buy it. If you say Catholics for abortion, people are not going to buy into that because abortion is less and less popular than it ever was.
Has it been denounced by the USCCB? Have they denounced this group?
Yes. Yes, okay. Over the years, the Catholic bishops have made it very clear, because, you know, the word Catholic is a powerful word. And so canon law gives the bishops the right to declare that particular groups that do not represent Catholic teaching may not use the title Catholic in their name.
Well said, Father. You mentioned Bernard Nathanson, and I mentioned this because I had actually got arrested with him back in the 80s at a clinic in California, and I got to know him well. And I was able to give him a lot of Bishop Sheen material, Scott Hahn material. And, you know, as you know, and everybody should know, that he became Catholic. He had his own little conversion from life and then becoming a Catholic. And I want all of our listeners to Google his name, because there's a lot of material on the internet. You can read his stories, written some beautiful testimonies of how he had that change from being for killing unborns to being pro-life. But here's my question, Father. I look at you as almost like you're a David versus Goliath.
Yep.
Okay? So tell us about some of those stones like David used on Goliath that you're using, because I know one of them is a link called www.politicalresponsibility.com/bishops. So could you share a little bit with us about that?
Well, politicalresponsibility.com is our election website. I really want to urge people to go there. They'll find a lot that they can do for this election. We'll help them to be very, very effective in their local community at not only fulfilling their own responsibility to vote in an informed way, but to influence others to vote. But on that website, you mentioned about bishops. We have the bishop's teaching. There's a beautiful document. This is one of the stones. It's called Living the Gospel of Life. You mentioned Archbishop Chaput recently, earlier in the show. He just retired from Philadelphia. He was one of the key figures instrumental in this beautiful document back from 1998. But it's just as valid today as ever when we talk about Catholics and voting. Living the Gospel of Life is a short, powerful document where the bishops say to the American voters what we were saying earlier: abortion is issue number one, the right to life is the foundation, and they say, listen, and this is an exact quote from the document, every voice matters in the public forum, every vote counts.
Amen.
They're urging us to take part in the process, not primarily as a political reality, but as a spiritual reality. This is part of our faith. You know, Terry and Jesse, contrary to what so many people like to say, religion and politics do mix.
Amen.
They mix.
Well said, Father.
Bingo. Yep.
Nailed it.
Father, you know, there's a couple of people that I know that would just that would just stand right next to you, you know, hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder. One of them would be St. Mother Teresa. Another one would be St. John Paul II with his Gospel of Life. Another one would be, you know, Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Amen.
And again, you mentioned that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Gospel of Life, number 23. That's what Father just, Frank Pavone. So you've got an army of people behind you demonstrating that this is the preeminent issue of our day. Although you might have a few here and there, a few clerics that may deny that. The fact of the majority is the weight of clergy and saints would say, yeah, Father, you're spot on. Let me ask you another question. So what information is contained in priestforlife.org/magisterium? priestforlife.org/magisterium. What can we find right there?
Well, the primary document that the church has issued in our day about abortion is The Gospel of Life by St. John Paul II. And by the way, you mentioned St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Calcutta. I was privileged to know them both personally. Wow. as many others living among us now also were privileged. But I count it such a blessing that I was able to know them, to talk with them, converse with them about this issue. And but John Paul considered Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, to be one of his most important encyclicals. And it's a document that you'll find not only the text, but also a study guide on that page. And it's important, too, because next month, in March of 2020, we come to the 25th anniversary of that document.
Wow.
So it really deserves a little extra attention this year. You'll also find the document we mentioned before, Living the Gospel of Life, which the U.S. bishops issued. And then what we do is we put on that page links to pastoral letters, homilies, and other kinds of talks and documents that popes and bishops around the world give on the topic of abortion and the right to life, as well as different statements of bishops' conferences and special committees and special events. So we try to put everything that our shepherds in the church say about pro-life, abortion specifically, onto that particular page.
Well said. Father, we're giving all these websites out because we want our listeners not only to get on them, but to pass them out through their social media network. So this
yes.
can really grow. And one other one I want to, as a personal favorite, it comes to voting, is www.votinginfo.net. What can
yes.
one expect to find in that also?
Well, votinginfo.net gives people a comparison of the parties. It has a flyer that we created that quotes from the party platforms, comparing the Democrat and Republican parties. People have to understand this. The party mm-hmm. that a candidate belongs to is just as important to consider before you vote
Amen.
As the candidate himself or herself, because they represent an entire worldview. And if you, like, for example, if you vote in a member of Congress in your district and that changes the balance of power in the House of Representatives, for example, that affects the whole country. And even if that particular person is pro-life, if the pro-abortion party comes into power, pro-life legislation isn't going to go anywhere. So you got to look not only at the effect of your vote about getting that person into office, mm-hmm. you got to see the effect of your vote about putting a party into power.
Well said.
Father, what I love about that side-by-side comparison, you also have it in Spanish.
That's right.
Yes.
The question came. And the platform,
Absolutely.
That's what I keep telling people, Father, is just look at the platform of each particular party. And Father, what would you share with someone like Jesse's Hispanic background? Many Hispanics have been voting Democrat forever, okay?
Right.
And how do we educate them to say, it's okay, you don't have to, just because, you know, mom and dad and your grandpa voted this way, times have changed. But what would you say to encourage, especially you know, Hispanic community, which is a large portion of our church now, how do we educate them to know that this is not the way to go?
Well, because, you know, one of the things we have at that website, votinginfo.net, mm-hmm. is actually a timeline.
Good.
And it's a timeline that it quotes the platforms from over the recent decades.
Excellent. Yeah.
And when it comes to family, mm-hmm. when it comes to life, when it comes to marriage, and these, of course, in the Hispanic community, as you well know, very deeply cherished values.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party has thrown these values out the window. Sad to say, they've thrown them out the window. And plus, the other thing we have to be careful of is let's not jump to conclusions. I know that many of our brothers and sisters are concerned. Maybe they're concerned. They've heard things about the president, you know, not being concerned about the Hispanic community. Latinos for Trump is a very, very strong movement in our country because they realize he has been doing a great deal of good for the Hispanic community. Record low unemployment numbers have come about in our country. He is, in his immigration policy, he has never said that we don't want immigrants.
Right.
He has never said, let's close the doors of our country to our brothers and sisters from elsewhere. Never has he said that. He said actually what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, that those who wish to enter the country must also obey the laws of and respect the norms of the country they seek to enter. And that's all. He's just saying, let's do this legally.
Well, Father,
every time I talk to people, my fellow Hispanic brothers, I'm saying, if you want to see President Trump's immigration policy, it's pretty simple. 2241 of the Catechism.
That's it. That's
read it. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yep,
it is.
I mean, this is Vatican II teaching on immigration. It's, and he's following it right to the letter. I'm saying, are you kidding me? This guy's catechetically precise. But let me go to another question, Father. There's been a lot of movies in recent years about that have exposed how evil abortion is, how wicked, how diabolical. I'm thinking about Bella. I watched that when it came out years ago. That was probably the first one that kicked everything off.
Awesome.
Then you have, Gosnell recently, October Baby, made by Protestants, Silent Scream. You have the other one called Blood Money. Now the last one called Unplanned. Have these movies played a role in changing the body politic? And have they made a difference in the pro-life cause? What say you, Father?
Oh, they definitely. We've seen the fruits all over the country. People that talk to us on the grassroots level and legislators that I talk to as well who have seen these things and come to a deep appreciation of what abortion really is. And also the other thing these movies show is how corrupt the abortion industry is. Abortion in and of itself is bad enough. But the industry that promotes it and performs these procedures is so corrupt. And that's what especially movies like Gosnell show this. And also the corruption that is shown in the Unplanned movie. I know the people
who
made
all these movies. We'll be right back, Father.
Okay.
This is Matthew Arnold inviting you to listen to Happy Hour on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Every week I offer reflections on the Sunday readings of the extraordinary form of the Mass and take a traditional look at the many challenges facing Catholics today. Drawing on scripture and medieval sources like the Imitation of Christ, I'll help you on your personal quest for spiritual perfection so that you can find true happiness in holiness. Check out Happy Hour live every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on our Virgin Most Powerful Radio YouTube channel or our VMPR smartphone app. It's easy to download the app to your phone from the App Store or when you visit our website, vmpr.org. That's Happy Hour live every Friday at noon or anytime on demand. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank was explaining the powerful impact all these pro-life movies have had, and Unplanned is the one that really, in my humble opinion, touched a lot of people in a very powerful way. And Father, I want you to continue on that, but I also want to ask you your take. We just had the Super Bowl over the weekend, and there was a pro-life commercial we wanted to put on that would show women who have had abortions and saying, I regret having an abortion. And unfortunately, the network said, we can't do that. So it's pretty obvious we're in a battle, okay, a spiritual battle. And I, in this last segment, I also want to ask you all these questions about spiritually doing, what can we as moms and dads, the hoi polloi, can do to support, you know, the pro-life effort? So number one, finish up on your unplanned movie. Number two, the Super Bowl. And then what can we do?
Well, I was very much a part of Abby Johnson's journey and very much a part of that story coming together.
Yeah.
So I was so pleased to see the impact that it made. I helped Abby to walk the path of healing, and we have a great relationship. In fact, I'm godfather to her to her son.
I love it.
And you know, it's a story that will continue to have power because, you know, she's not the first.
No.
She's not the last. Hundreds of people have come out and continue to come out of the abortion industry. And that ties in actually with the second point. You know, there's such pain in our society over abortion. That's why these, it's not just an ideological thing where we can't get these ads, you know, accepted by even generally friendly news outlets. People realize it's so volatile an issue. Why is it volatile? Because there's so much personal pain. Abortion destroys everything it touches. And this is why we, in one sense, we shouldn't be surprised that it's so hard to get abortion out into the open and addressed. But at the same time, the fact that it's so hard should spur us on to keep on working on this, because it's a big wound that needs to be healed. So we're going to continue to move in that direction.
Father, one more quick question about women who have had abortions. I always
yeah.
never let you go. If you notice, every time I interview you, I always want to send people to, you know, some healing. What can they do if they've had an abortion 15, 20 years ago? Don't you have a
yeah.
ministry that helps people like that?
We do. Abortionforgiveness.com. And this is a big part of my ministry. I'm privileged to serve as pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard throughout the world and Silent No More.
Good.
These are the biggest ministries in the world for healing. So abortionforgiveness.com is a website we set up. You put in your zip code and you can find like a Rachel's Vineyard retreat nearby, or
awesome.
a post-abortion Bible study, or, you know, any one of many, many ministries for healing the wounds of abortion.
Thank you.
Father, here's kind of a political question. For some Catholic naysayers or some people on the left, they'll say, well, I know Trump is pro-life, but he's such an imperfect candidate. You know, how do you respond to the naysayers that would say that? I tell them, I don't know if you agree with me. I say, you know what? The only people that are perfect, but they're not running for office, are Jesus and Mary, okay? God and his
yeah.
mother. But aside
Absolutely.
From that, everybody's a sinner. So you know what? Take your pick.
We have to, as Catholics, we've got to be asking the right questions in these elections. And that is simply not the right question when they say, oh, is he living up to this virtue, or is he perfect, or does he have sins in his past? Wrong question, folks, wrong question. The question is, what kind of laws is he signing? What kind of deals is he making for America? Is he improving the economy? Is he strengthening our security? Is he putting the right kind of judges in the courts that are going to shape this world for your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren?
Yep.
Because they're going to serve for a lifetime long after he's out of office. We're asking the wrong questions when we start to try to make this a vetting process for canonization, right? It's not a canonization. A vote, an election is a transfer of power for a very specific purpose. So if you choose a doctor to give you surgery, are you going to ask how many times he's been married, or are you going to ask him, does he know what he's doing when he does
well
the operation?
Well said. Father, you know, I want to ask you. No, it just makes sense. It's, again, common sense. You ask the right questions. Father,
that's right.
For mom and dad that are listening and their family members, I mean, we know that the country is divided over this issue. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
What can we do on the spiritual side? And also, you know, whether we go out to abortion clinics and pray our rosary, putting our signs up saying, you know, there's a, you know, life is sacred, things like that. But what can we do spiritually? And I think you have something on your website. You have some powerful prayers that people can pray. Do you not?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Well, we know how prayer is the foundation of everything. ProLifePrayers.com is the website that we present for prayers for all different occasions. But what I want to urge people to do when you pray for pro-life, you got to make it very intentional and specific. Don't just pray in general for, you know, culture of life. Okay, well, we know that's what we want. But what does that actually mean? ProLifePrayers.com, you'll see specific prayers for the moms, for the dads, for those wounded by abortion, for the politicians, for all different situations and groups of people. We have to pray very intentionally and specifically. Now, here's the other thing, and this is a spiritual thing,
yes,
as well as an educational thing.
Yes.
John Paul II talked about this all the time. We have to face the truth. Remember, he wrote Veritatis Splendor. We have to face the truth. And we've got to look this evil in the eye. We have a website called lookatabortion.org. It's a challenging website because it shows us what abortion is. But my friends, we're never going to get this issue resolved unless we start debating the issue for what it is. And that is, we got to talk about abortion. Well, you and I talk about abortion, we know we're talking about a baby being torn apart.
Absolutely.
But so many of our fellow citizens, they're thinking freedom, women's health, constitutional rights. That's not what this is about. This is about the destruction of a child. Look at abortion.org brings people face to face with the evil. And unless we're willing to face the truth, we're not approaching this in a spiritually healthy way.
Amen.
Father, a target group of the abortion killers has always been the blacks ever since its inception.
Yeah.
There's a good website. Do you endorse this website? It's called blackgenocide.org. I've accessed some very good stuff for my black Catholic friends.
Absolutely.
Is that a good website to endorse?
It is. It is. Well, as you know, Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., works full time with me at Priest for Life. And she has been, this has been actually the fruit of something that she has been doing over these years together with other black leaders. They have formed a National Black Catholic, National Black Pro-Life Coalition. Mm-hmm. And so these leaders are rising up. Some are in the Catholic Church, some are in other Christian churches. And different websites have come about, Black Genocide. Also, we've got Civil Rights for the Unborn, which is Alveda's work with us. It's wonderful because, again, looking at the truth, right? Part of the truth of this is that it is a genocide on the black community. Planned Parenthood has targeted the black community from the beginning.
Yep.
And our black brothers and sisters need to rise up and say, we're not going to be subject to this anymore. And sadly, it's the latest form of oppression, and they've suffered enough oppression through their history.
Well said. Father, could you give our listeners a priestly blessing? And one before you do that, one more time, if they just go to Priest for Life, they can get all the other website links, correct?
All the other website links, Priest for Life, and also we made a special address even easier, endabortion.us. Endabortion.us. See all those links that we mentioned today.
Go ahead, Father.
Yes. May the Lord send his Holy Spirit upon all of you. He who is the advocate, may he make you strong advocates for your youngest brothers and sisters, the unborn children. And may he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life, for joining us here again. And thank you for your leadership in helping us understand the sacredness of life.
Father, I'm just curious, what diocese are you in right now? I know you start off in New York. Is that where you're still at?
Florida,
still,
aren't you?
Is that still headquarters?
I'm actually living now in sunny Florida. Just outside of Orlando.
Okay.
And we have a new headquarters down here, and we're coming to you, in fact, from our TV studio right here in our Florida headquarters.
And people can support you, correct, Father Frank?
How do they support your cause, Father?
Yeah.
Where are they going?
Pro-life donation, prolifedonation.org. Prolifedonation.org.
You're a good man, Father Frank. God love you and the community there. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Wow, Jesse, isn't it wonderful to see a priest like Father Frank who's just willing to tell it like it is when it comes to our faith with regards to sacredness of life?
See, Father Frank understands something that a lot of people have forgotten, that you can't separate religion and politics.
There you go.
Okay? He understands that. I actually read in Tim Gordon's book, that's a Masonic principle, the separation of church and politics.
Ah.
Yeah, that came from the Masons. It's well documented in Tim Gordon's book. But the fact is, Father understands this, that, or Fulton Sheen would actually say, he says, when government starts talking about morality, it's no longer politics. This is now the purview of the church. So when the government started to talk about, you know, transgender bathrooms, homosexual marriage, abortion, contraception, that's no longer the purview of government.
We'll
that's
finish
now
hearing what they're
the
saying.
Magisterium of the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Great. Jesse and Father, thanks again. May God bless you. I want to remind all of our listeners that we couldn't do this without your support, okay? Because Virgin Most Powerful is 2 years old now, and it wouldn't happen without you. If you want to become a monthly donor, go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. I don't care if you're 5 or 105. Become holy or die trying. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And don't forget this, if you're breathing and you got two legs, you're called to holiness, period.
Amen. And I want to remind you about the upcoming conference with Father Fessio, the Adoremus Conference, coming on the 15th of March. You can find out all about our conferences by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. May God richly bless you. And let's get on that choo-choo train of Fulton Sheen and say full Sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God bless you. And again, tomorrow, we're going to have another guest. And we're enjoying it. I hope you are. I hope you're getting more fired up about your Catholic faith. And that's what we're all about, helping you get to heaven. Because life is short and eternity is forever. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.